Now let's stay right there in Romans 9 and 10. These are passages of Scripture that are very familiar to us all, or most of us who study the Scriptures. And I quote from this passage quite often in my preaching, because what we have here is the heart of the gospel, and especially in the what I've indicated as my text this morning, verse 4 of chapter 10, which says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." And I think it's interesting and helpful to know that that word end, Christ is the end of the law. That doesn't mean the conclusion of the law as far as the Old Testament is concerned, which he is, which he was. When Christ came into the world and did his great work on the cross and was buried and arose again the third day, that marked the end of the old covenant, the law of Moses, and the beginning of the new covenant. So he was the end of the law in that sense. But what this is talking about is the end of the law for righteousness. And that word end is the exact same word that Christ used when he was on the cross, as written in John 19:30, when he said, "It is finished." So Christ is the finishing of the law for righteousness. He's the fulfillment of the law for righteousness. He is the ultimate one who did everything the law required to satisfy the justice of God, which equals righteousness. Now, to whom is that applied? The Bible teaches that God, before the foundation of the world, chose a people and gave those people to Christ, put them in his charge. Isaiah 9:6 puts it this way: the government was upon his shoulders, the government of grace. The government of salvation was placed on the shoulders of Christ, not on our shoulders. If it'd been placed on our shoulders, it'd fail. It was on Christ. He was made our surety. The debt of sin, which had not even come about yet, the sin that had not even entered into the world yet, was placed upon Christ. That's our surety. And he was marked out and purposed to be our substitute. That's why he had to come into the world and take upon himself sinless humanity, God manifest in the flesh, so that he could be our substitute. He had to die. God cannot die. But this person who is God did die, and that's attributed to his sinless humanity. That's why he talks about in the Lord's Supper, as he instituted the Lord's Supper, "This is my body, which was broken for you." That means his substitutionary work. And then he said his blood, that's the finishing of the work. That's his death. So he was set up to be our substitute and our redeemer, to pay the full redemption price for the sins of his people and establish righteousness, an everlasting righteousness. And that righteousness is the righteousness of God. It's not the righteousness of man. In other words, it's not what we do for God, it's what God has done for his people. And so that's the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel, you see. And that's the righteousness that he's speaking of here. Christ did that. He is that for his people. And we know that he is because he arose from the dead. He was raised from the dead, meaning that the work that he accomplished was a done deal. It was the end of the law for righteousness. Now, in these messages I've been preaching over the past several weeks, I've been trying to show how that Christ is the righteousness of his people, the salvation of his people, the redemption of his people, the glory of his people, and show the distinction between what we call faith and believing. Okay? Well, he says he's the righteousness of the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So here you see a distinction between righteousness and believing. The righteousness is what Christ accomplished. The believing is the fruit of what he accomplished. So how do I know he did it for me? Well, God gives us the gift of believing. Faith, we call it, and that's okay. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, where does that faith come from? Where does that believing come from? It comes from Christ. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Well, that's the whole point of this. There is a distinction here. What is this thing of faith? What does it mean? And most people, they parse that down into just, well, we believe. I told Randy and Susan that I was coming on the way to the service here this morning. I saw outside of a flower shop they have on their sign, only believe. Well, only believe what? And most people say, well, believe in Jesus. Well, okay, that's fine. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't believe in Jesus and not believe Jesus. Does that make sense? In other words, if you believe in Jesus, you're going to believe what Jesus said. And what did he say? And what he said is the doctrine of Christ, the teachings of Christ. And so many people think they believe in Jesus, but they deny or are either ignorant of the doctrine of Christ, the teachings of Christ. And that's what this Bible is all about. So go back to verse 30 of chapter 9. Let me put it in the context of what I'm saying. The first thing he shows us here is the true nature of righteousness and faith and what it means. Look at verse 30. He says, what shall we say then? Now, he's drawing a conclusion based upon teachings, doctrines that he had related here by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it concerns the doctrine of God's sovereign electing grace. What did God say in verse 13 of chapter 9? Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Oh, God hates somebody. Well, that's what it says here. Well, preachers say that means loved less. No, it doesn't. It means exactly what it says it means. God chose Jacob and he did not choose Esau. And somebody said, well, that's not fair. Well, look at verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Is God unfair? Is God unjust? No. But here's the conclusion. Verse 15. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. God says, I'm the one who chooses. It's his prerogative. In fact, it's his glory. He's quoting here. Paul's quoting here from Exodus 33, where God answered a question posed to him by Moses. And what was the question? What was the plea? Show me your glory. And he told Moses, here it is. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. Well, what's the significance of that? Well, look at verse 16. So then, it's not of him that willeth. It's not based upon your decision. Those who believe, do we decide for Christ? Yes, we do. But that's the fruit of salvation, not the cause, not the source. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, he says. That's works, but of God that showeth mercy. So what are we going to say to such things? Well, look back at verse 30. He says that the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Now, the title of this message is Righteousness by Faith. What does that mean? Now, obviously, he's not talking about all Gentiles without exception here. He's talking about Gentiles who have attained to righteousness. He's talking about believing Gentiles. Because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And he'd already said down in these verses here that Brother Jim read, there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. In fact, if you want to get technical, and I'd like to do that, if you look down at chapter 10 and verse 20, Isaiah, the prophet, he prophesied something, and he says, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Who's he talking? He's talking about the Gentiles specifically there. But that's really any sinner who's saved by grace. You're saved not because you sought after God, not because you made a decision. You're saved because God sought and found you, gave you life, and your decision came out of his power, out of the life that he gave you in the new birth. You must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, back over here in verse 30 of chapter 9, the Gentiles, they follow not after righteousness. Now, what he's doing here, he's showing a comparison between the Gentiles who did not have the law of Moses and the Jews who had the law of Moses. And so the sense that the Gentiles sought not after righteousness is they weren't seeking the righteousness of the law of Moses, but they found righteousness. It doesn't mean that the Gentiles were not religious. Everybody's religious in some way or another. But he says they found righteousness. What is righteousness? Well, it's perfect satisfaction to God's law and justice. It's the perfection of the law. And the Bible has already told us plainly that we don't meet that standard. For all have sinned. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? It's the perfection of righteousness that can only be found in Christ. He kept the law. He died a perfect death under the justice of God for the sins of his people. We can't do that. Our death doesn't satisfy justice, but his did, because he's God manifest in the flesh. So they attained it, those believing Gentiles, they attained it, even the righteousness which is of faith. Now, what is that? Does that mean that they believed and their believing was their righteousness? No. What is the righteousness which is of faith? Here it is, verse 4 of chapter 10. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. That's faith right there. That's the faith. That's the knowledge of God. That's the body of gospel truth that we believe, brought to believe by Jesus, by God's word. And he says in verse 31, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Israel sought the righteousness of the law, but they didn't make it. They fell short. And why? Verse 32, because they sought it not by faith. Now, what is faith there? Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. That's what faith is. That's the revelation of God. That's the knowledge that God gives his people. How he reveals himself. Gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, the Greek also, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith. Knowledge revealed to faith, knowledge received, learned, taught of God. And so he says they didn't attain it. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. They were seeking righteousness by their works. They didn't make it. And it says, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. And he goes back to the word of God in a prophecy of Isaiah. Here's what they stumbled at. Verse 33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him. Who's the him there? It's Christ. Shall not be ashamed. Shall not be confounded. What is my faith? What is your faith? If your faith is that God saved you because you believed, you've got the wrong faith. Am I clear on that? If you've got the faith that says that God saved me because Christ worked out a perfect righteousness that ensures my salvation unto glory, that's the right faith. And he proves it. Look at verse 1 of chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now he's acknowledging the generality of the people of Israel as being lost. Now he acknowledges, along with Isaiah, that there is a remnant of believers, a small portion, but as a whole, they're lost. And we can say the same of humanity in general. That in general, we're lost. But God has a people, a remnant according to the election of grace. That's what he calls us in Romans 11. But he says this. Now, understand what I mean when I say they're lost. I don't mean that they're all perverted, raving lunatics out here trying to kill each other and all that. They may be, but he said, that's not what I mean. He says, verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Now, notice this. And I believe if you look at the, you know, if you do study the Greek language and all that, I believe this is translated right. He doesn't say they have godly zeal. He said they have a zeal of God. They have some notion of God, and they're zealous to pursue that notion, but not according to knowledge. And that knowledge there, that's faith. What knowledge? The knowledge that God reveals to his people. They're ignorant, he says, verse 3. They being ignorant. What are they ignorant of? God's righteousness. God's justice, you could say it that way. How do you know they're ignorant of it, Paul? Because they're going about to establish their own righteousness. They're trying to work their way into God's favor. Well, that's not faith. Now, they do believe. But what do they believe? They believe they can work their way to God for righteousness. I mentioned this, I think, last week. Cain and Abel. You know Cain and Abel? You know, both Cain and Abel were believers. But Cain believed a lie. Abel believed the truth. Abel had faith. Because God promised salvation based upon a suitable sacrifice. The blood of the lamb, which pictured Christ. And Abel believed it. Now, why did Abel believe it and Cain didn't? Was Abel just a better guy? And the answer is no. I'll tell you why. It's because God chose to give Abel faith and he chose not to give it to Cain. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, that's what God says. And God didn't take your opinion into view. He's God. He doeth as he wills. As scripture said, as he pleases, for his glory. But verse 3 of chapter 10, they being ignorant of God's righteousness. God's righteousness is the faith there. And what is God's righteousness? Verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So he said, have not, they're going about to establish their own, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now what is the righteousness of God? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. For who? To everyone that believeth. To everyone whom God has given the gift of faith. Now he goes on, verse 5. In all of this, see, he's showing this, that Christ is our righteousness. Not our believing. The fact that you believe doesn't make you righteous. The fact that you believe, if you do believe the gospel, indicates that you have been made righteous in God's sight by his grace and his power. And so he says it this way, and he goes back to Moses, verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law. Now here's what the righteousness of the law says. That the man which doeth those things shall live by them. You got to keep it all, basically. If you're going to appear before God based on your works, it better be perfect. Nothing missing. Not one black mark. Not one negative, not one debit, you see. Well, somebody says, well, then there's no hope for me. Not in your works, there's no hope for you. My hope is built on what? Nothing less than what? Jesus' blood and righteousness. You understand? So he says in verse 5, that's what Moses said. He says in verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith, righteousness which is of faith. What is that? The righteousness which comes by Christ. That's the righteousness of faith. That's the righteousness by faith. That which comes by Christ, who is the end of the law for righteousness. It speaks this way, on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. What's he saying there? He's saying the righteousness which is of faith or by faith does not tell you that it is something you have to work for. It's not something you have to jump high for or get low for. You can't do it. No matter what you do, you cannot attain it. Why? Because we're sinners. We come short of the glory of God. We can easily see that at our worst. But we need to understand that even at our best, we still fall short. You cannot attain it by your works. And so he says in verse 8, what saith it? What does it say? The word is nigh thee. What word? He says, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith, which we preach. Well, what are we preaching? Are we just running around out here saying, oh, you got to believe, you got to believe, you got to believe, only believe? No. What are we preaching? We're preaching Christ crucified and risen from the dead. That's the word of faith. That's the content of the gospel. That's the doctrine of Christ, his person. Who is Jesus Christ? He's God manifest in the flesh. What did he accomplish in his death on the cross? He established a perfect righteousness by which God is just to justify sinners and ensure their salvation unto glory. That's the word of faith. Well, there is the command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Repent or you shall perish. Listen. But it only comes in light of the righteousness which is by faith. You can feel sorry for your sins, and we all should, more than we do. All sin. You can walk 100 aisles. You can get baptized so many times that the tadpoles know you by your first name. You can give money, you can do all of that. And say you believe and believe and believe. But your believing is not your righteousness. If your believing were your righteousness, it would have to be perfect in every way without any smidgen of doubt. And I don't believe any of us would be so self-righteous as to claim that. You see, this is the righteousness which is by faith. The word is nigh thee. Faith comes by hearing. Well, what are you hearing? Just the command to believe? Only believe? Well, believe what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. What is his name? That's not talking about titles and labels. That's talking about the nature and the character and the revelation of God as to who he is as the God of all grace who saves sinners by his grace and mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ, by his blood and his righteousness. And it goes on here. It says in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. What is it to confess the Lord Jesus? Is it just to look up into the sky and say, praise the Lord? No. It's to confess that he is who he said he is. Only believe. Well, believe in Jesus. Well, that begins by believing Jesus. What did he say? What did he teach? Who did he claim to be? A lot of people say, well, he never claimed to be God. Well, why did the Pharisees pick up stones to stone him? Because he claimed to be God. He said, he told a woman one time, he says, your sins be forgiven you. And they knew this. They knew that only God can forgive sins. How many times did he say this? I am. The phrase I am, which can only apply to the eternal, immutable, ever-existing God. He told the Pharisees, if you don't believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. He is God, manifest in perfect, sinless human flesh. He went to the cross because the sins of his people were charged to his account. He's our surety. He died on that cross, was buried, and arose again the third day, indicating the establishment of a perfect righteousness which fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law to ensure the spiritual life, salvation, and glory of all for whom he died. That's the faith right there. That's the Lord Jesus. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What does it mean to just believe that God raised him from the dead? What does that mean? Does that mean if I just believe in the historical fact of his resurrection that I'm saved? No, look at verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. What does that mean? Believing unto righteousness. Verse 4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's what it means. Our believing is not our righteousness. Our believing does not make us righteous. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Do you believe? Well, verse 11 says, the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. When I read passages like that, I think about Matthew chapter 7. In verse 21, where the Lord said, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And he said, there'll be many who come to him saying, Lord, have we not preached in your name? Lord, have we not cast out demons? Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works? Only to hear him say, depart from me, you that work iniquity, I never knew you. Can you imagine how those standing there hearing him say that were ashamed, confounded? And what was their problem? Preachers tell you, well, they weren't sincere. Really? Is that what it says? No. And if that were the case, let me ask you this. Do you expect to enter heaven's glory based upon your sincerity? And if you do, I'd ask you this. How sincere do you have to be? What's the standard of sincerity? Because I'll tell you something about righteousness. God doesn't measure it on a sliding scale. He measures it by Christ, who is the end of the law for righteousness. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world by their sincerity. No, he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, in that he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. You see, those men and women who were pleading, their preaching, their being able to cast out demons, their one, they were presenting that before God as their righteousness. But they had none. And that's why, what were they? They were building their house on sand, not on the solid rock. Of Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And so he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What is it to call upon the name of the Lord? It's to call upon Christ as a mercy beggar, saying, Christ, I'm a sinner. I have no righteousness of my own. I can work no righteousness of my own. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And he's my only hope. He's the only way of salvation. Righteousness by faith is righteousness in Him. And that's our faith. Isn't that right? That's what we have been brought by God by the gift of faith to believe. God has revealed it to us. Well, let's sing Nothing But the Blood. Hymn number 212 is our closing hymn.